بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين. And it is incumbent upon human beings, for the sake of Allah, upon everyone who is able to undertake the journey to it. And whoever disbelieves, then surely Allah is self-sufficient above any needs of the worlds. Today we have wonderful groups and associations who prepare people for Hajj, giving them all the practicalities, what to take, what to do, arranging or making all the arrangements and making life so much easier. But in essence, there are three kinds of Hajj: Hajj Ifrad, Hajj Qiran, and Hajj Tamattu. Now the first two I mentioned, Hajj Ifrad and Qiran, are the duty of the residents of Makkah and the surrounding areas up to 48 miles. The other one for those living outside those two areas in which we are included. And Hajj consists mainly of two parts. You have Umrah Tamattu, or Umrah Tamattu, which is necessary for entering Makkah. And this consists of five things. You have the Ihram, which is the intention, the wearing of the clothes of Ihram, and the reciting of the Talbiyah. Then you have Tawaf, which is the seven rounds or circumambulation of the Kaaba. You have Salatul Tawaf, which is two units of Salah at or near Maqam Ibrahim, as near as possible. Then you have the Sa'i, which is walking between Safa and Marwa. And finally, Taksir, which is cutting some hair or nails. Then that is followed by Hajj Tamattu. And this consists of 13 things. Again, you have the Ihram, which is worn in Makkah. You have the pause in Arafat, the pause in Mashar al-Haram or Muzdalifah, the stoning of the Jamrat Aqaba in Mina, the Qurbani, the sacrificing in Mina, the sixth one is the Taqsir or Halak in Mina. Then you come back to Makkah and you have the Tawaf, the circumambulation around the Kaaba, you have Salatul Tawaf, you have Sa'i, you have Tawaful Nisa and Salatul Tawaf, and finally staying in Mina on the nights of the 11th and the 12th of Dhul Hijjah and stoning of the three stones in the three jamarats in Mina. Now let's look at each one of them very briefly. The Ihram consists of three acts. The first is the niyyah, the intention, very, very important. Then the wearing of the dress of Ihram, and finally the recitation of Talbiyah. In the surrounding areas of Makkah, there are places, determined places, which are called miqat, and it is here that Ihram is worn. There are five miqats, places of appointed places, and the ones that are most used are Masjid al-Shajara. It's for those approaching Mecca from Medina, and there's Jaffa. A little bit on the philosophy, it's worthy that when you leave your country and reach miqat, then you think about leaving the materialistic aspects of the world and moving towards the place of miqat, of the day of judgment. It is mustahab before ihram that the body should be completely cleaned and to do a mustahab ghusl. The niyyah, the intention, must be solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is qurbatan ilallah, for in obedience to Allah and seeking nearness to Him. And then at that miqat, you have the wearing of the dress of ihram. Women can remain in their normal clothes, but men wear two pieces of simple, unsewn cloth. There's one that is tied around the waist and the other over the shoulder. And this is because clothes symbolize status and the concept of I. And suddenly now it is we, as one is dressed like everybody else, there is uniformity. One is also dead in essence, because it is like the coffin, it is like the day of judgment. All are wearing coffin, no one is recognized. The body therefore is to be left at miqat, and the nafs and the soul motivated. And once you've worn this ihram, then there are 24 things that are forbidden, and this completes the feeling of being dead. And the forbidden things are, for example, covering the face, and that's forbidden for women too, covering the head. Now this is for men only. And this really reminds one of the burning wilderness of the Day of Judgment. Traveling under shade is forbidden for men. Preventing oneself from smelling unpleasant smells, you can't close your nose. Hunting and eating hunted meat, you can have not have any intimacy or any sort of kissing or even touching one's spouse, to take part in a marriage ceremony, to wear sewn clothes is forbidden for men, wearing footwear that covers the upper part of the foot, for example, wearing rings as adornment, applying of surma to the eyes, oiling the head, wearing of adornment for women, even if it's to please your husband, no, cutting your nails or extracting teeth, looking at a mirror, arguing, killing anyone, removing hair from the body, and killing creatures, I mean, it could be even an ant, carrying weapons, unearthing trees or plants or grass during ihram in the sacred precincts. You cannot do it. Causing blood to come out of one's body even by scratching or brushing the teeth forcefully. To smell fragrant aromas, to tell lies, to abuse, to be envious, to be arrogant. All these are absolutely forbidden. So there's a feeling of, there's a surreal feeling of just leaving the material aspects and concentrating within. And then the talbiyah is recited, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulka, la sharika laka labbaik. Here I am, O God, you have no partner, here I am. Surely all praise is yours and all bounties are from you and the kingdom is yours. You have no partner, here I am. There is a hadith which says that when Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam wanted to put on the clothes of Ihram, he would go pale and shake and could not say labbaik. And then he was asked, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, why? He said, I am afraid that the Creator will say, there is no here I am, because your heart is not here. The muhrim, the one who wears Ihram, now enters Makkah. And once you enter the sacred area, it is recommended to recite Ayah 97 of Surah Ali Imran, where Allah says, "Inna awwala baytin wudhi'a lin-nasi lil-ladhi bi-Bakkah mubarakan wa hudan lil-alamin." The first house for worship appointed for humanity was that at Bakkah, full of guidance for all kinds of beings. And the city resembles a huge ball encircled by all sides with mountains. So Kaaba is the center. Makkah is called Baytul Atiq because it represents being free. It belongs to nobody. When Prophet Ibrahim, and we've talked about it, left Sayyidah Hajra and Ismail, they ran out of water and provisions. So she runs from the mountains of Safa and Marwa 7 times in search of water. And suddenly a stream of water comes under Ismail's feet. It attracts birds. Soon the tribe of Bani Jurhum comes there, following the birds and settling there. Hajar and her son live there too, and they're occasionally visited by Prophet Ibrahim alayhislam. The Kaaba literally means a cube. It's a very simple building. Black stones of ajun are laid on top of each other. It is called the House of Bakkah. And Baqa or Bakkah means gathering. It is a place of gathering of people. Prophet Ibrahim and Ismail were ordered by Allah to build this house of worship near the well of Zamzam. And this is the Kaaba. And at the request of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, which he requests in Surah Ibrahim, Allah makes this house and land Makkah safe and secure. He says, Rabbi ij'al hadha al-balada aminan, make this city one of peace and security. There is a black stone, the Hajrul Aswad, which comes from Jannah. It symbolizes the right hand of Allah. The tawaf starts at this stone. Hand, incidentally, it's only a metaphor. Allah has no hands. But in essence, when Allah says in Surah Al-Fat, Ayah 10, Yadullahi fawqa aydihim, the hand is Allah, is over them, it signifies that all other religions are cancelled. You are free. Your allegiance is directed only towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you have Maqam Ibrahim, the sign of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, his footprints when he stood to build the Kaaba. And the stone of the original foundation, it is here that we try and pray 2 rakats of salah. It's a place where Ibrahim, having rejected idols, saved from the fire, sacrificed in the last days of his life, builds a house not for himself, but for people. A place for them to feel safe in. And then you will find towards the west of the Kaaba a semi-secular short wall. We've talked about this, Hijra Ismail. It signifies lap or skirt. It is where Ismail is raised. This is the house of Hajra. It is where her grave is. A black slave woman who is given a place in the house of God. And tawaf must be made around this wall. Otherwise, it is not valid. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Al-Muhajiru man maraqa Hajar, the ideal immigrant is the one who behaves like Hajra. We are the Muhajirs. Those who go for Hajj were immigrants, migrated from everything, accepted Allah's invitation to go to Hajj, and will go around her grave and the Kaaba together. It is recommended that when you enter this place to say Bismillahi wa billahi wa ala millati Rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. In the name of Allah and with Allah and on the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the first thing is to perform the tawaf, walking 7 times around the Kaaba, starting at Hajar al-Aswad, always making sure that the Kaaba is situated on the left and the left shoulder is parallel to the Kaaba at all times. A niyyah, again, an intention is necessary, qurbatan ilallah. It is wajib to be in taharat, in wudu. And the tawaf is literally emulating the roles of the angels who are going around the divine throne. In the last ayah of Surah Az-Zumar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَتَرَى الْمَلَائِكَةَ حَافِّينَ مِنْ حَوْلِ الْعَرْشِ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And you shall see the angels going round the throne, glorifying the praise of their Rabb, and judgment shall be given between them with justice, and it shall be said, all praise is for Allah, the Rabb of the worlds. It is mustahab to walk barefoot, take short steps, do tawaf at dhuhr, remain near the Kaaba, close your eyes as much as possible during tawaf to be able to think through things, avoid useless talk. Salute Hajar al-Aswad in every round by raising your palm and reciting throughout this tawaf zikr of Allah, ayah of Quran, and there are specific du'as that have been recommended, but one of the recommended ayat of Quran to be recited is one that we recite in our qunut. رَبَّنَا عَاتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَكِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Our Rabb, give us good in this world and good in the hereafter and save us from the punishment of the fire. We do have specific du'as for each section of Hajj. A CD is available from the Islamic Education Board. Now, the act of tawaf signifies to us to make Allah the center of our lives. Yet in all positions, maintaining a set distance and route, a certain track to be followed. You know, we all know the famous proverb which says, if you take a train off its track, it's free, but it has nowhere to go. During this tawaf, there is no individuality, no I. It is becoming a we, establishing the ummah with the aim of approaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's another famous saying which says, the human being needs a community, for without it is like a wave which is nothing without the sea. So combining the two, the consciousness and the being of everybody around us. And as soon as tawaf is complete, there's 2 units of Salat al-Tawaf, which is recited behind Maqam Ibrahim or at a place as near as possible to it. It is mustahab to recite Surah al-Ikhlas in the first unit after Alhamd and Surah al-Ghafirun in the second rakah. And Salat al-Tawaf reminds us that although we've been circumambulating, going round the Kaaba is not something we worship. But our focus of worship is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Kaaba merely becoming a focal point for this. And in a hadith we know that in the heavens exactly above the Kaaba, there is the house of Mash'ar which the angels circumambulate just as humans do around the Kaaba. Inshallah, we will continue with this overview of Hajj tomorrow.